This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith, my life gets stronger and stronger. Can you give the Lord a shout of victory on Labor Day weekend? Wow. You all sound so good today. Really, you really do. You're excited about the Lord, amen? And what He's doing in your life, right? Open your Bible today to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalm, the book of Psalm. Before we begin reading our scripture, let's not put it up yet. Guys, let's lay a foundation. We're beginning a brand new series entitled Welcome Home. Welcome Home. You see, what is that all about? Pastor, I'm new to this church and you're teaching a whole month. We like to do a series the whole month because we found out that we get more out of the Bible through a series. Through repetition, you know, the word wisdom actually in the Hebrew is chokmah, and it means to pound in or repetition. So actually revelation comes through repetition. So we like to teach a series through the whole month and we get more, we feel, out of it by doing it that way. And so the whole month, this month, September, we're going to talk about the series Welcome Home. What in the world is Welcome Home all about? It's all about us creating an atmosphere at our church when people come on our campus that they feel welcome. It's all about the ministry of hospitality. Did you know that's a ministry? Just as much as laying on of hands, the ministry of hospitality. It's in the Bible. We need to know about it, right, church? So this whole month is all about you and I creating an environment, creating an atmosphere where when people step on our campus, they'll feel at home. They'll feel welcome. And they'll leave here with more than what they came with. Is that okay with everybody? You see, that's as your pastor who loves you, I always want you to leave with more than what you came with. So welcome home. You know, we're real strategic here about wanting people to feel welcome. We're real intentional about wanting people to feel like if you don't have a church home, then make this church your church home. From out in the parking lot, you see the people with the signs that say, welcome home, right? The signs in the parking lot for senior citizens and disabled people, it says right there, welcome home. You come through the doors and our door greeters, the door greeter ministry, the hospitality, what do they say? Welcome home. The creative arts and the staff, they're before the services, they're walking out and they're greeting everyone, making sure everyone feels welcome and at home. And then, you know, our host, you know, comes up here, and what do they do? The first thing they say is, welcome. We're strategic. We're intentional. We know that atmosphere at your house is everything. Atmosphere in God's house is everything. The climate in your house will either breed strife or success. The atmosphere and the environment in our church will either breed life or death. We want, as a church, to be a life-giving church. Is that okay with everybody? We don't want to be religious, but we want to have real life and a life-giving church. So we're intentional about wanting to create an environment from when you get out of your car and you step on this campus that you feel at home and that you feel welcome. That doesn't happen automatically. It has to be strategically and be intentional to make that happen. Atmosphere is everything. You all know, right? You can go into a room and know if someone's been fussing or fighting in that room before you got there. Now, don't point at anybody right now. Praise the Lord. But we all know that, right? We can go into a room and we can feel like, wow, there's peace here, or there's strife, or there's rest or unrest. You know, as I was coming down this morning to greet the people in our growth track class, this meeting right now, and I went in there to love on them before the class started, and I met some of our prayer team, Pastor Kim, that prayed with you this morning. See, we have a prayer team that comes at 7 o'clock, 7:30, and they pray for an hour before church ever starts. Isn't that amazing? They pray for us. They pray for an atmosphere. And two of the ladies stopped me and said, Pastor, that's so thick in there today, the presence of God, the grace and the love of God, you are going to have an amazing service there today. What were they talking about? Atmosphere, right? They were talking about environment. So this whole month is about Welcome Home. It's about us at Church on the Rock creating an environment, an atmosphere, going to another level where when people come here and you come here, you feel like it's home and you feel like you're welcome here. Is that okay with everybody? So look at Psalm 5 on the screens and verse 11. Now, I really worked hard. I hope you all appreciate this. I was on my computer for hours to try to find a paraphrase translation that had the word welcome in it. I mean, I worked hard at it, amen? Okay, I really did. And look, it does. Look what he says, the psalmist. But you, God, you'll welcome. Well, we want to be like God. We want to be like Christ. We want to be Christians. And so what does he say? The psalmist says, but you, God, you'll welcome us. God, you will welcome us, how? With open arms. You'll welcome us with open arms. And don't you love the Message paraphrase? You'll welcome us. So that's what we want to do. That's our attitude, our mindset here at Church on the Rock, that whosoever, that we want to welcome people with open arms. Now, when you say welcome home, it's an act of kindness. It's an act of hospitality. It's an act of humility. But also, you know, when you say welcome home, it's like you're opening the door. Am I right? Those of you who have guests come to your house and you wait for them at the door and they come up to come to your party or your dinner or your lunch or whatever you're going to do together. And what do? Stand at the door and say, welcome. What are you doing? You're opening the door. So every time we have church at Church on the Rock, when we say welcome home, we're saying the door's wide open. The door's wide open for black people, brown people, white people, right? Red people, old people, young people, rich people, poor people, healthy people, wounded people, sick people, hurting people, broken people, right, church? The door's wide open. That when you come here, the door's wide open. We welcome you with open arms and come be a part of the party that God's throwing. Look what the Message says. It says, you'll welcome us with open arms when we run for cover to you. You know, when you're hurting, don't stay away from church. Well, when you're broken, don't stay. When you're under shame and guilt and condemnation, don't stay away from church. And by the way, that Church on the Rock is a no condemnation zone. Church on the Rock is a no condemnation zone. And I'll tell you why. Because where there's condemnation, there can't be transformation. Where there's condemnation, there cannot be transformation. I want to say it one more time because I want it to stick. I'm going to throw it against your heart. Where there's condemnation, there's no transformation. In other words, where there's condemnation, it's not an environment or atmosphere for life change. There's not an atmosphere, there's not an environment, there's not a presence for life change. And we're all about life-giving and life change and transformation and a wide open door, and you can have a second chance, you can start again, you can pick up the pieces, your best is in front of you, the rest of your life is the best of your life. That's what we mean when we say welcome home. Go ahead, give the Lord a good praise for his goodness today, would you? So notice that he says, you're welcome with us. We'll welcome you. God, you welcome us with open arms when we run for you, for cover to you. Now, George Barna, he does research. And Barna researched the latest statistics. I'm going to give you some statistics on running to God. Why people go to church and stay. Why people go to a church, call it their church home, and stay and stick. Week after week, month after month, year after year. George Barna said right now in America, he interviewed people, unbelievers. He interviewed unbelievers and he asked them, what do you think about Christians and what do you think about the church in America? He interviewed unbelievers, George Barna, his research company, and he said, what do you think about Christians and the church in America? And it came back with only 18% of unbelievers had a favorable opinion about Christians and the church. 18% of unbelievers, the lost, the undone, the unbeliever, only 18% had a favorable opinion of Christians and the church. Why is that? Because I think most churches talk about what they're against instead of what they are for. Come on, somebody. I think religion down through the years has been known for what we're against instead of what we are for. Now, if you're a note taker, let me give you four things that we're for. And if you're visiting today, we're happy you're here. If you're visiting today and you're a non-believer, we're happy you're here. And all we want you to know is God is for you. So let me tell you what we're for at Church on the Rock. Number one, we're for these things, that God loves you. That God loves you. Number two, that God is for you. Remember, Church on the Rock is a no condemnation zone. Because where there's condemnation, there can be no transformation. So we're for telling people God loves you. It doesn't matter, the door's wide open. We welcome you. You can have a second chance here. You can start over again. You won't be condemned. You won't be judged. You won't be picked on here at this church. We're for God loves you. Number two, God is for you. Number three, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. Doesn't that sound like our mission statement? To tell the whole world, it's all over our windows, it's all over our campus. God is for you, to lead people to a God who is for them and help them discover his purpose for their life. I think that's what we're for. I think Church on the Rock is more about telling people what we're for than what we're against. So number one, we're for letting people know God loves you. Number two, God is for you. Number three, God has a plan for your life. And number four, God wants you in his family. God doesn't want you to live alone. God doesn't want you to be an outcast, a misfit. God wants you in his family. He sent his son to die for us on the cross so we could be adopted into his family. Am I right, church? So see, that's what we're for. Now, I grew up in a denomination, and I love that denomination, and I'm thankful for my heritage, and I thank God for the foundation. And you know, you can't lump a whole denomination all together, right? You can't make a general statement. You know what I'm talking about? It's just like in any category of any church or any occupation. You got good people and bad people and everything. But I'm thankful for the church and the teaching and growing up in the church that I did. But I'll be honest with you. When I was growing up as a teenager, the particular one that I was in, is they were known more for what they were against than what they were for. They were no more for what they were against than what they were for. They were against you going to shows. They were against you wearing makeup, ladies. They were against you wearing jewelry. They were against this and that and this and that. And the list went on. And if you ask me what my church believed, I can just tell you what they were against instead of what they were for. No wonder the world that's full of guilt and shame and condemnation, no wonder they don't want to go to church and hear more condemnation and more guilt and more shame, because there's no transformation in a house or church where there's condemnation. There can be no life change of that. Am I helping anybody so far this morning? So now let me give you just a few more stats. This blew me away, and I'm not into stats, but those of you that are analytical, you'll like this portion of the message today. But let me give you George Barna, latest. Now this blew me away. Because, you know, I've been a Christian for several decades, and the church is just like the world. The church has fads. How many of you know that the church has fads? The church has fads. There were fads in the 60s. There were trends. There were fads in the 70s. You remember the charismatic renewal, Catholic Church, all that was going on. The Word of Faith movement in the 80s. And then you had, you know, into the 90s, into the 2000s, you had the worship with Hillsong and Bethel and all the revival of worship. And remember, some of you remember when we were into the dancing up front and some the joy movement, the laughter movement. You know, there have been all kinds of trends. And, you know, the church, it's kind of like a pendulum. Where she's weak, she'll go all the way over here to try to compensate for being weak, and she gets off of balance, and that lasts for a while, and then she got to go all the way back over here. So it's real hard for the church to stay balanced, it seems like. But the church, you know, I've seen trends happen and different statistics down through decades. This is the latest of George Barna this week. In America. Here's what George Barna, remember, we're still talking about that when you're hurting, run to God for cover. He's saying, welcome to you, and his arms are wide open, and don't stay out of church, come to church. If you don't have a church you can call home, welcome home at Church on the Rock. So what do you do? Why do people run to God and then stay in a local church? George Barna said this, 76% of Christians now who go to church say they stayed at church and they continue to be plugged in at a local church and call it their home is the reason 76%, they say, because of the sermons. Because the sermons, where they found that the sermons were for Monday morning, they stayed. You know what I mean? Simple sermons, practical, you can apply. Not over your head, it's where the rubber hits the road. You can have some action points. You can use what you're hearing. 76%, that was the number one reason they said that when they do find a church they can call home, if they're fed their simple, practical, this is George Barna last week, simple sermons that they can apply into their everyday life, that's the number one reason that they're going to stay undercover in the house of God. Number two, 64% came back and said, we're going to stay once we run to God and we find a church we can call home and we feel welcome there and we're growing there, but we're going to stay. 64%, this is the second reason, we're going to stay because of the kids ministry. The nursery, the children, the youth, and the college. We're going to stay because of the children's ministry. You heard Goldia up there talk about on that wonderful video how that the nursery and the children's ministry and youth ministry had impacted her children. That's important. Amen. That's the second. So that's why we should be, and we are, raising up a dream team like never before in our children, our nursery, our youth, you know, our college. That's why we're pouring money. We're asking for offerings. We're asking for the kingdom builders to help us to give state of the art. Because right now, George Barna, his research company in America last week, that's the second reason people will stay if you've got a awesome, quality, excellent children, youth, nursery ministry. That's number two. Now, we're talking about welcome home, a church we can call home, we feel welcome. And the Lord said, you welcome us, the psalmist said to God, you welcome us with open arms, the door's wide open. Run, come here for cover. Okay, well, what makes people stay there once they run there? Number one was sermons that are practical. Number two, 64% was the nursery, kids, and teens ministry. And look at this, The third reason, 59% because of the opportunities to volunteer. The opportunities for what we call here a dream team. That was the third reason. People are looking for a place to make a difference with their life. They're looking for a place to worship one and serve one. Right? Worship one, serve one. You know, worship comes before serving. Just a little tidbit on our paraphrase of worship one, serve one. Do y'all remember in Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus came back and from being fasting and the devil tempted him? Do y'all remember that story, those of you that are, you remember that story? And do you remember that Jesus said, you will worship and serve only one God? Notice the progression. You worship and then you serve. Worship takes precedent over serving. But you've got to serve to be balanced as a Christian. So the third reason they said, if they find a church that stops preaching what they're against and what they're for, if it's life-giving, if it's life-changing, if the sermons are practical, if they relate, if they connect, and then if you got a children's ministry that's out of this world, the third most important thing is a dream team. The third most important is the opportunity to volunteer with my life, gifts and talents and abilities, and make a difference. Am I helping anybody so far? And then he goes on to say 49%, so this would be the fourth reason, would be, they said, connections, small groups, social events. This is the fourth reason. Isn't this interesting? This is George Barna, Poll Research Company, last week. He said the fourth reason is people want small groups, and we have small groups at Church on the Rock, and we're launching more actually here in just a few weeks, but they want a place where they can get to connect with one another. You see, in here, we worship God, but in the Rock Express and the Dream Team Volunteer Central downstairs and all the events that we have, you connect with each other. In here, you're not connecting with each other. You're looking at the back of each other's head. In here, we connect with God. In those events like Eat Sweet Night and those events that we have, the Dream Team Volunteer Banquet and the events that we have, and the small groups, you connect with each other. Now, that's the fourth reason now. People said, you know, when the door's wide open and I feel loved, forgiven, and accepted, when there's a no condemnation zone, so I can have transformation, and my husband can change, and my wife can change, and my kids can change, and my marriage can change, and my family can change, and my career can change. Well, once, if the teaching is simple and practical, and it'll work on Monday morning. If they got an outstanding nursery, children, and youth ministry, if they got a place for me to volunteer and use my gifts, talents, and abilities, and then number four, I want to connect with people. I got to get to know people. Amen. We were made for God, and we were made for each other. We were made for a relationship with God, and we were made for a relationship with each other. And then last, now this is going to blow your mind. This blew my mind. You check it out. George Barna, go on his research. Look at the poll on the internet. George Barna said, and remember, the psalmist said, you welcome us, welcome home with open arms. Doors wide open. We run to you for cover. What causes people, once they run there and they receive Christ, they accept him and believe in him, become a Christian, what keeps them there? And what's keeping them there, we're listening here to what Barna said, and the last thing on the bottom was worship, 37%. Was lights and fogs and LED screens and music. That was the last thing. Today, right now, in this year, 2018. Now, if you would have went back 10 years ago with the Hillsong movement and the Bethel coming out, and a lot of churches didn't have good worship, worship was the reason everybody was going to church that were Christians. And now every church in town has got fog, lights, LED screen, and awesome worship. And that's not what people are looking for now. Isn't that amazing? Now, I think we should have good in every area. Can I have a witness in the house? But I thought those statistics are very interesting because I didn't think it'd come out that way. But that's George Barna. So can I continue for a few more minutes? Okay. So you'll welcome us with open arms when we run to you for cover. Let the party last all night. Boy, that's an environment, right? An environment, an atmosphere. Let the party last all night. Stand guard over our what? Celebration. We should be celebrating God, and we should be celebrating one another. Not condemning, but celebrating. Two words, letter C, better retention. We shouldn't be condemning, but we should be celebrating. Come on, somebody. Oh, praise the Lord. Can I take you to one more verse? We're running out of time. I'm having too much celebration here today. Amen. Look with me, if you would, in Luke chapter 6, in verse 35 through verse 37. Luke 6, 35. And can you look at the overheads with me? And I know we're on television, but can you read this out loud on the count of three? One, two, three. I shall Okay, now next verse, okay. Verse 36. I'll read this one to you. Verse 36. Luke 6, verse 36. Our Father, He's kind. He's kind. He's not condemning. He's not putting shame on people, guilt on people, condemnation on people. Because that never changes people. Telling what we're against never changes people. Only what we're for that changes people. God is for you. All right? So our Father's kind, so you be kind. Verse 37. Now, would y'all read this for me? Because y'all done so good on a holiday weekend. Here we go. One, two, three.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
My goodness, don't you love the Message paraphrase? That doesn't sound like a lot of churches I know. It doesn't sound like religion that I know. Look what he says. Don't pick on people. Church on the Rock is a no condemnation zone. Because where there's condemnation and shame and guilt, there's no transformation. And we want to be a life-giving church. Amen, church. And we want people to feel at home and welcome when they come, as the team's coming out. Don't pick on people. Don't jump on their... We've all failed. Don't pick on people. I remember, you know, when I was growing up and in the church, and again, I thank God for the church I grew up in and the people. They were good people. Great church, great denomination. And my dad was on the deacon board, okay? And I remember I was in junior high now. Junior high was 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. And I remember, I think it was like 8th grade. And I was coming out one afternoon out of school, junior high, and I was walking home because we lived in a kind of a town like Mayberry. And I was walking, getting ready to walk on my way. And I'd say, out of nowhere, seriously, if I'm lying, I'm frying. Out of nowhere, one of the deacons jumped out behind one of the bushes from our church. And I'm walking home from junior high, and I have some of my friends with me, and we're walking. And he jumps out, and I've always had long hair, and I've always been just a little bit different. And he jumped out of there. He's a deacon at our church. Now, my dad's the deacon on the deacon board. He jumped out. Here's my friends. Here I am on the way home from junior high. And he stopped right there in front of all of them. And he said, Dave, you need to cut your hair. My friends, he said, you need to cut your hair. And then, you know, back then, I wear Converse tennis shoes, Levi's rolled up like this. And I wear a shirt on the outside. Here's what he said to me. You need to put that shirt tail on the inside, boy. And get a belt, cut your hair, then God can do something with you. That's the deacon of the church where I'm growing up in. My dad's a deacon. You know what that did? Made me mad. You know what that did? That hurt me, wounded me. You mean God won't accept me? You mean God won't use me? You mean God doesn't love me? You're putting shame on me because I have a little longer hair? I'm in the 8th grade. Because I have my shirt tail out? Because I'm wearing Converse tennis shoes? You're telling me God won't? You know what? That took a long time for me to get over. Church hurt me, wounded me, shamed me, made me feel like unaccepted, unwanted. I think all of us can identify with some kind of a situation like that, can't we? And in a place where you feel shame and guilt and condemnation, there's no transformation. There's no life change. And look what the scripture says. Don't pick on people. Don't jump on their failures. Don't criticize their faults. We've all got them, right, church? And if you're visiting today and you're an unbeliever, please, we're glad you're here. We want you to just know God's for you, but we're not perfect. We've got faults. We fail. We make promises and don't keep them. We don't pretend to be perfect. We don't got it all together. We got habits we're trying to overcome. But we love God, and we know that God's for us, that God loves us, that God has a plan for our life, and God wants us in His family. So I said, don't pick on their faults unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn. There it is. Church on the Rock is a no condemnation zone. No, don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. Be easy on people. Be easy on people. Boy, that's the atmosphere and the environment for life change. Now we're not compromising. All month on the weekend, I'm going to give you stories in the Bible we're going to look at where Jesus ministered to hurting people. That's what we're going to do on the weekends, okay? But I'm laying a foundation today. What does it mean when we say, welcome home at Church on the Rock? It means the door's wide open. It means come and celebrate with us. We're going to celebrate God, and we're going to celebrate one another. And we're not going to pick on your faults, and we're not going to talk about your failures, because we've all messed up. And we've all got a life where we're going through a mess, creating a mess, or coming out of a mess. Can I have a messy amen this morning? Praise the Lord. Now, in closing, let me give this to you real quick, okay? We got this 5 or 6 points, action points. What do we do? Can we put them up real quick, guys? The nursery's telling me I got 1 minute left, okay? For the right atmosphere, here's a takeaway. We got to be aware. It doesn't happen accidentally. You know, those pre-service meetings we have for our dream team, that's not punishment. Well, you got to be here 30 minutes early. What? I got kids. I got this. I got that. I got this. I got that. Those pre-service meetings are to prepare the right atmosphere in every department. So when we say welcome home, people will feel welcome, and then they'll want to make this place their home. We got to be aware. We're intentional from the parking lot to the end of the service when the host ends. It's all about welcoming people, making people feel at home. They don't have a church home, make this one their church home. So number two, action point is attitude. I like this. We want to, God's kind, we're to be kind. Notice this, gentle, not judgmental. Gentle, not judgmental. Gentle, not judgmental. So we got to work on gentleness. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Number three, these are takeaways, actions. Actions speak louder than words, right? You know what? You can walk up to somebody and tell if they're prejudiced or not. Come on, you don't got to say a word. They just look down on you like, you know, who are you? I mean, you know, white people do it to black people. Black people do it to white people. Brown people do it to white people. White people do it to brown. Well, I mean, people just do it. And you walk up to them. You can tell immediately if they've been taught in the house to be prejudiced, be a bigot, or if they've been taught to be easy on people and love all people. Yeah? So actions speak louder. So what should our actions be? Our actions should be love, forgiveness, and acceptance.